So it's kind of a ritual in America. On forms and government documents, applications and surveys, Americans are asked to identify themselves by age, by gender, immigration status, economic resources, race, religion, political affiliation, where you live. The list goes on. All part of the identity puzzle that goes with being an American or a would-be American. How the media identifies each of us, black person, white person, Hispanic, Latino, how the government identifies us, taxpayer, citizen. These are important, but not definitive labels. And they're not complete, and they may be completely different from how we identify ourselves. It's a special issue for Latinos in America. Take the Trayvon Martin case. George Zimmerman, who claims he shot and killed Trayvon in self-defense in Sanford, Florida, identified himself as Hispanic on a voter registration form. The detail has been picked up by the media, and suddenly George Zimmerman is a Latino or a Hispanic. But is it the end of the matter just because of that voter registration form? Mark Lopez, Associate Director of the Pew Hispanic Center, joins us from the nation's capital. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
And also, let's welcome Ilan Stavans, who's an Amherst College professor of Latino culture. Professor, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So let's get both of you to comment, first of all, on this identity puzzle that exists in the United States. Just because you are prompted on a voter registration form to indicate some sort of ethnicity, and again, it's completely voluntary, is it definitive, the fact that someone might do that on a voter registration form? Let's get both of your responses. Mark, you begin.
Well, in a lot of the surveys that we have done, we've actually asked Hispanics a number of different things, such as, do they ever call themselves Hispanic or Latino? Do they ever call themselves by their country of origin? Do they ever call themselves American? And across those three questions, while it wasn't in our most recent survey, we found that for the most part, Latinos have used all of those terms at one point or another. The question is, which term did they use most often to describe themselves? And in our most recent survey, it is oftentimes the country of origin of their families, like Mexican or Cuban or Puerto Rican or Dominican, that they use to describe their identity.
All right, so they most often describe their identity using the country of origin. And again, it would differ depending on how recently they came here and all of the above, right?
That's exactly right. In fact, it depends a lot on not only the time since arrival for those who are immigrants, but also which immigrant generation somebody is. So are they the children of immigrants, or are they U.S.-born with U.S.-born parents? But even among that last group, we do see about 30% who say that they use most often the country of origin of their ancestors to describe their identity.
Now, Ilan Stavans, respond to the first question, but then based on what Mark has just said here, you know, some people are going to conclude that, oh, that must mean they're loyal to El Salvador more than they are to the United States, when in fact they may be just attempting to clarify themselves in a very, very diverse population. What do you think is going on here?
What is going on, John, is that the Latino community is a very heterogeneous and complex one. It's not really clear to many of us what makes us Latinos. Is it the fact that we all come from the same region, that we speak more or less the same language, or that someone in our family did so at some point, that we eat the same food or listen to the same music? And it is often easier for many of us to say I'm Mexican because there are many more people like me with whom I can identify than to say I am Hispanic or Latino. But as Mark was saying, the further we go into the assimilation process, the more likely we are to lose that sense of national background and start thinking of this very abstract, very elusive category that is Latino that might not satisfy us, but at least gives in front of others an impression that we have a distinct ethnic or in some cases, racial characteristic.
And a category that may be more convenient to someone like myself in the media than it actually is for the people who are referred to in that category. Again, a very generic category. And the farther you get from that country of origin, just sort of carrying the thought that both of you have made here, the more likely a Latino, Hispanic, a Mexican, a Salvadoran is likely to encounter other groups in the United States with similar or quite different, but certainly equally complicating narratives of what their identity is. Listen to what some of our listeners have been saying in the wake of some questions about, say, how Latinos and African Americans interact in the United States these days. Listen.
This is Danny from Miami. This is a case of disassociation. As a Latin American, I know we have the whole spectrum of colors within our class, if you will. it comes down to if you want to associate yourself more with the black community or the white community and who's in power. And the majority of Latin Americans would rather be associated with those in power, so they might adopt some of the stereotypes against those who are not in power.
Can you respond to that, Ilan Stavans?
Yeah, one of the interesting questions would be to wonder how Latinos became white, if that is the process that is taking place, and how distant they are from having been black. As the caller said, there are all sorts of ranges of color within the Latino community, but the idea of success in this country, either we like it or not, is the idea of whitening yourself. However, I want to say something very quickly about George Zimmerman. Zimmerman defines himself as a Latino, but he has also stated that he's Peruvian American, that is one of the smallest groups in terms of national background. He is also Jewish and Catholic and white. And it seems to me that in that sum of parts, he is closer to what many of us within the Latino community and outside are complex, difficult to describe, than it is for the media often to say this individual is Latino or is black or Asian or so on.
And certainly coming from South America, where the ethnic mix is incredibly complex, Peruvian, Argentinian, for instance. I mean, you could be more Italian than Hispanic if you come from Argentina in some ways. All of that, completely obliterated by this blunt category, Latino. Let's listen to another listener.
My name is Betty from Tequila, Georgia. Zimmerman is as much white as he is Hispanic, as you call him. I've noticed in the news he's gone from being white with a Hispanic mother to now being Hispanic.
Mark Lopez, that transformation that the media has made of the identity of George Lopez, how does that relate to the statistics in your surveys?
Well, one of the trends that's been happening over the last few decades in the United States, particularly for Hispanics, is many Hispanic newlyweds, in fact, about one in four in 2010, for example, married somebody who was not Hispanic. And that's one of the higher rates than you see among any other group. So for Hispanics, we've seen an increase in the number or the share of newlyweds who actually marry somebody who is not Hispanic. So in many respects, the Zimmerman reflects some of those trends.
And in terms of competition in communities like Sanford, Florida, do groups cling more to a certain identity if they're in conflict? And we're not sort of extrapolating too much on the Zimmerman-Trayvon Martin case, but if there is a competitive environment for groups, do they cling to a different identity than one might have expected? Mark, and then Ilan.
That's really an interesting question. One of the things that we've seen in our also in our data is that today's young Latinos are getting many more messages from their parents about the importance of having pride in their identity, but also the importance of speaking Spanish.
Ilan Stavan, quick remark.
I think that the fact that this individual is looking at himself as a complex in a character with many identities tells a lot about what the Latino community is experiencing right now.
The ethnic identity puzzle in the United States gets even more difficult to assemble when events like the Trayvon Martin case make us rethink what's going on in our communities. Sanford, Florida, the example in this particular case. We're talking with Mark Lopez, Associate Director of the Pew Hispanic Center, and Ilan Stavans, an Amherst College Professor of Latino Culture. Let's hear a voice once again from one of our listeners.
This is Sandy Dacchiardi from Miami, Florida. Hispanics are just racist. We're racist against each other. We're racist against everybody else. South Americans don't like the Central Americans. The Spaniards don't like anyone but themselves. There's just a lot of racism built into Hispanics. I don't know if it's something necessarily negative against African Americans when we arrive to this country. We just stick to ourselves.
Now, she says ourselves and we, that level of candor, if she is a Latina, is exhilarating and a little frightening to listen to. Ilan Stavans, what do you think?
Oh, I think it's exhilarating and frightening and not totally accurate. The Latino community, 50 million in the United States, is one that is very divided across many lines, and race is a central one. Racism has been part of Latin America from the very beginning. The difference between the Indians and blacks and mulattoes and mestizos and creoles and whites, and that tension, you could say, was the engine of a transformation to for the region to become modern, but it's also been a destructive aspect that has kept the region from developing in a number of different areas. And that translates into the community in the United States, as we are immigrants that have come to the other side.
Now, Ilan Stevens, as a professor at Amherst College, I'm going to take the listener's words again. You are, in a sense, agreeing with her disturbing suggestion that Latin Americans are programmed for racism.
And so are Americans. I mean, we are all defined by the stereotypes with which we grew up. And the process of education is the process to fight, to undermine, to bring down those stereotypes. But the stereotypes will be there. They are in the DNA of each civilization. And I don't believe Latin Americans are more racist than North Americans. Maybe North Americans speak openly more about race. Doesn't necessarily bring us to a lesser degree of racism. I mean, look exactly what's happening in Stanford, Florida.
Right. Mark Lopez, how do we keep these identities from enslaving us into a pattern of mistrust and suspicion?
It's really interesting because when I take a look at our survey results from a number of years, what we found is that when we ask Hispanics, do you think Hispanics from different backgrounds get along well together today or do they not? We find that 2/3 of Hispanics say that Hispanics in the U.S. get along well despite all the different backgrounds they come from. Of course, that may be what people want us to hear as opposed to what they really think, but nonetheless, that's what some of our numbers have shown.
Let's make sure that you're a part of this conversation. I'm speaking to you out there. That's right. You know who you are. What are you thinking about all this conversation? 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org. We're talking with Mark Lopez, Associate Director of the Pew Hispanic Center. Mark, thanks so much. Really interesting statistics there.
Thank you.
And Ilan Stevens, Amherst College Professor of Latino Culture. Really, thanks so much for your candor as well.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And thanks to you listeners who really made that conversation work.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.